Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to bring a message, Lord willing, attempt this message, verse 19 down through verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm calling this message, Jesus Christ Himself. You see those three words in verse 20. God's church are built upon this one foundation. All the apostles of the past, prophets of the past, all said there's just one foundation, one way of salvation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. That sums up all of salvation. Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself is all of salvation. For it says in verse 18, by way of introduction, for through Him, we both, Jew, Gentile, all the redeemed, all of God's elect, we both have access, liberty, boldness, by one Spirit, by one way, unto God Almighty in Christ Jesus. Our blessed Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. Because of the glorious priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His perfect righteousness, because of His obedience unto death, because of His perfect and glorious sacrifice unto God, all the elect of God are reconciled in one glorious body in Christ, having free access. Now you think about this. Free access, liberty and boldness to approach God without fear, without being intimidated, coming boldly unto the throne, not of an earthly king, but of God Himself, who is holy, who is almighty, who is sovereign. And this is all through Christ Jesus, because of what He has done for us and what He has given unto us. Now, right here in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 11. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Now watch this carefully. By the faith of Him. Doesn't say by our faith. It says by the faith of Him. It's because of His faithfulness that we have those three things. We have boldness, access, and we have it with confidence. Now let me show you a couple places in Scripture where this is also given to us. Back in the book of Hebrews, where we were a moment ago, find Hebrews chapter 4. Boldness and liberty. Hebrews chapter 4 this time. Access unto the presence of God, the very throne of God, through Christ Jesus. Through Christ alone. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore stay away. Doesn't say that, does it? Let us therefore come boldly with liberty, freedom, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Now again, in the book of Hebrews, where we read earlier, chapter 10, turn there, Hebrews 10. Verse 17 says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ put them away, didn't He? Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. He appeared once to put away sin in the end of the age. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you another scripture. The point I'm trying to make is, we have no reason to stay away. We have every reason to come to God through Christ Jesus for all blessings, for all of salvation. In 1 John chapter 4, turn there. 1 John chapter 4. says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect. God's love for us, that we may have boldness in a day of judgment. Boldness, liberty, freedom, access in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now look back to the text. Remembering what we are by nature, without God, without hope, without Christ. Considering all that He has done for us, His obedient life, which is our righteousness. His full redemption by His blood, which is our cleansing. He justified us. He sanctified us. Now, what are we to do as sinners saved by grace? Come boldly. Didn't our Lord say that in Matthew? It's recorded, chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's rest nowhere else but in Christ. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see, the one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, testifies of one way of salvation. God the Holy Spirit, our Lord said, He'll take the things of Christ and show them unto you. God the Holy Spirit magnifies Christ as everything in salvation. Now, considering all that, look at verse 19, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more. No more now. No more. Now get a hold of that. No more strangers, foreigners, aliens. No more without God. No more without Christ. No more. But rather your fellow citizens with the saints. And you're of the household of God. And on top of that, you mean there's more? And on top of that, you're built upon one foundation, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone. Now therefore, now isn't this good news? Oh, I tell you, good news. Now therefore, the holy law of God being honored by the Lord Jesus Christ, every precept and every penalty of that law, in Christ, believers are no more aliens, strangers, aliens without Christ, without hope, without God, but are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we have access. We have salvation. We're justified. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer, no more, no longer are we strangers. No longer are we strangers to His love. No longer are we strangers to the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. No longer are we strangers to His mercy revealed in Christ Jesus. No longer are we strangers to the true Christ of God, to the true living God. No longer are we strangers. But we know Him. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. No longer strangers, but friends of God. Friends of God. Sons of God. No longer strangers, but friends. No longer foreigners. He mentions they're foreigners. No longer foreigners. No longer aliens. I'm here legally. All the legal demands of God's law have been met. I'm in Christ legally. I have a legal standing, a right standing in Christ Jesus. God's law has nothing against me. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Huh? It is God who is justified. Who can condemn me? It's Christ who has died. We have a right legal standing in Christ before God. No more foreigners. No more aliens. We belong here. We belong in Christ Jesus. God says so. No longer foreigners and aliens to His promise of salvation in Christ. We know now all the promises of God
in Him are yes, and in Him, amen.
And we're persuaded He's able to do all that He has promised to save sinners by His grace. No longer strangers, no longer foreigners, we're one with Christ Jesus. But rather, He says, but rather, no more, no longer, anymore, no more. Don't talk about that anymore. But now we are fellow citizens. We're fellows. You know what fellowship is? We have a fellowship. You know what fellowship is? It's fellows in the same ship. That's what fellowship is. We're in the same ship. Christ. He's the ark. He's the way. No longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints. Having a blessed, sweet fellowship around the glorious good news of God's saving pardon, saving mercy, and pardon of sin in Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. For our citizenship, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3, our citizenship is from heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fellow citizens in Christ Jesus. We're fellow citizens with the saints. We're set apart by His divine election. For by one offering, remember what we read in Hebrews 10? For by one offering we are perfected forever. He has perfected them forever, them which are sanctified. The saints have but one offering. We're fellow citizens with the saints, being set apart by divine election, being set apart by divine calling and regeneration. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Turn over just a couple books. Find Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It says here in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Colossians 1 verse 12, who made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are fellow citizens with the saints of God. Saint Paul, he's my brother. Saint Jude, he's my brother. Every believer in Christ Jesus is a saint. I'm looking at some saints out there that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now here's the second thing he mentions. No more are you foreigners and strangers, but you're fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of the household of God. What does that mean? That means He's made us sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God by His glorious adoption of love, by regenerating grace, and by the new birth. We're born into this family. Believers share in the fullness of His grace, and they are richly clothed in Him. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. They have plenteous provisions of mercy. They are heirs of a never-fading inheritance, made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. We're fellow heirs. We're fellow citizens. We're saints of God. We are of the household of God. What are we by nature? Remember in Ephesians chapter 2? We are by nature children of wrath, even as others. But now in Christ Jesus, sons of God, fellow citizens, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And, verse 20, we're built upon this strong and one foundation. All the prophets had one way of salvation. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, Micah, all the prophets. To Him give all the prophets witness. Moses wrote of Him. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. All the prophets of the past all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, the Savior, the Messiah, He's coming. And the apostles declared, He has come. He has come. Behold, the Lamb of God. All the prophets and all the apostles all declare one message. Christ is the only way of salvation. For there other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus Himself. Christ Jesus Himself. Now that's the essence of the gospel. That's the meat and marrow of the gospel, is Jesus Christ Himself. Now let me give you these five things about Jesus Christ Himself. Here's number one. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scriptures. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture. Therefore, because He is the theme and the message of all Scripture, therefore He must be the message of our preaching. Jesus Christ Himself. Now remember, in Luke chapter 24, the risen Lord Jesus Christ was following along with two men, and they were talking about the prophet that should come, that should deliver them, and they thought that the prophet of God had failed, and our Lord said to them in Luke 24, verse 25, then He said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of all Scripture. The message of Scripture. Now, stay right here in Luke 24, look at verse 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures concerning me, Moses, the law, the prophets. And thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission should be preached among His name, in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of what? Remission of sin in Christ Jesus. Because He's the theme of this book, He must be the subject of our preaching. Now, one wise preacher of the past said this, when we're done preaching Christ, when we're done preaching Christ, we better be done with preaching. If our message is not the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's why Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is our message. Christ and Him crucified. That is the message of this book. These things are written that you might believe. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of this book. It's all about Him. 66 books. Every page, every line, every verse is all about Christ. So Jesus Christ Himself. What's this book about, preacher? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created. Well, who's the Creator? The Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, it says, even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is all of our redemption. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus Christ Himself is all our redemption. Christ Himself. Now here's a couple of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus Christ Himself is all our deliverance. That's the word redemption. You remember verse 7 of Ephesians 1? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, in whom? Jesus Christ Himself. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1.
What did He redeem us with as our great high priest? What did He give to purchase us, to buy us, to put away our sin? Did He give the blood of bulls and goats and of calves? Did He bring the blood of others? What did He give? Let's read about it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given, what's that word? Himself. For us. An offering, sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor unto God. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husband, love your husbands. What are we to do? Well, love your wife. Love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is all our redemption. And my friend, it's who He is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 is who He is that gives infinite value, infinite merit to what He did. He didn't attempt to put away sin. He didn't make salvation a possibility by dying for all the sins of all men that they would do certain things. No, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His own life's blood to accomplish the salvation of those people given unto Him in that covenant of grace. We call that particular redemption. We call that definite atonement. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by, what's that word? Himself. Purge our sin. He sat down on the right hand of God. Christ Himself is all of our redemption. Now, either He accomplished it or He didn't. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Either He accomplished it or He didn't. Hebrews chapter 9 declares this. Verse 26. Verse 12 says, He obtained eternal redemption for us with His own blood, Jesus Christ Himself. Hebrews 9, 26. For then He must have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to try to put away sin. To make a down payment on sin. To do a partial work. To put away sin by the sacrifice of Him, what's the word? Himself. I'm saying this clearly as Scripture can make it. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is all our redemption. He redeemed us from our sin with His own blood. Here's the third point. Jesus Christ Himself. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus Christ Himself is the theme of all Scripture, is the message of all preaching. Jesus Christ Himself is all of our redemption. Thirdly, Jesus Christ Himself is all of our righteousness. Christ Himself is all of our righteousness. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, that's our righteousness. By the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Jesus Christ Himself is all of our justifying righteousness before God. Now, what does a guilty sinner need? What does a guilty sinner need? He needs to be declared justified. How is that done? Only through the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all of our righteousness. Now, preacher, can you make good on that? I think I can. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's all of our righteousness. You see, we're no longer, are we? Are you trying to establish a righteousness of your own? Are you going about doing certain duties or what you think are sacrifices, trying to perfect a righteousness to present it unto God? Are you doing that? Are you being ignorant of that righteousness that is provided in the gospel and are going about to establish your own? Or are you rather resting in Christ, our righteousness? Now, the believer finds total acceptance before God in Christ, justifying righteousness because of this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You knew where I was going to turn before I said, didn't you? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. God made Him sin for us. The one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, do you ever think about this? We're raised the same way we're fallen. We're raised the same way we're fallen. In Adam, all died. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. How are we raised? By the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. That's our righteousness in Christ Jesus. No longer going about to establish a righteousness by the deeds of our hand or by the law, but resting in Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness. Here's the fourth thing. Jesus Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. Jesus Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. I want you to find the book of Hebrews again in chapter 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only object of saving faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I told you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, didn't I? Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. You see, my friends, saving faith that's described in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2, faith is called the what? The gift of God. It's not a product of the flesh. The only thing that's native to this old wicked heart is unbelief. If you're a believer resting in Christ, He's granted you and given you precious faith. And faith has one object. Faith doesn't look in here. Faith looks objectively to Christ, not in here subjectively. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking. Looking. Now notice, it doesn't say I look. Looking. Present tense. Looking. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the victorious Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of salvation. He's the finisher of salvation. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So saving faith looks unto the glorified Christ, the victorious Christ, the one who has accomplished salvation for us. Jesus Christ Himself is the only object of saving faith. It's looking to Christ alone, not to past experience, not to my... You certainly wouldn't look to your feelings, would you? What was it Martin Luther said? Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, and nothing else is worth believing. Look to Christ alone, not to the past experience, not to my feelings. Don't look to your faith. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. This is the faith of God's elect, acknowledging that all of salvation is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord God Almighty says in Isaiah 45, He says, look unto Me and be ye saved. For I am God. Beside Me there is no other. Our Lord said in Matthew 11, come unto Me and I'll give you life. So here's the fifth thing. Jesus Christ Himself is the only source of true joy, comfort, hope, and peace. Now, don't go looking for peace. Don't go looking for comfort and joy and hope. Look for Christ. The fruit of being in Christ and resting in Him is joy, comfort,
hope, and peace. You see what I'm saying? Don't go looking for joy. Look for Christ. He is our joy. He is our delight. Now here's the scripture. Jesus Christ Himself is all our joy, comfort, salvation. This is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Therefore, he says in verse 15, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or epistle. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus, talking about traditions there, is the truth. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who had loved us and had given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You see it right there? And God, even our Father, who had loved us, washed us from our sin, and He's given us an everlasting comfort and a good hope through grace and grace alone. Christ Himself is all our hope. Jesus Christ Himself. Now, look right across the page. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Christ Himself is all our hope. Christ Himself is all our joy. Find Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He's all our hope, all our joy, all our comfort, all our joy. Romans 5 verse 11. Not only so, but we also joy in God. We joy in God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received reconciliation, is the word there, atonement. Atonement for our sin. He is all our joy. He is all our comfort. Find Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Jesus Christ Himself is all our hope, all our joy, all our comfort. He's all our peace. He's all our victory. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. We find great comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ, who put away all our sin. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our comfort. He is our peace. Turn to John 21. John chapter 21. He is all our peace before God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 21. The resurrected Lord declared unto those apostles who were huddling together because they were fearful of the Jews, and the Lord Jesus, risen and victorious, came among them that day. In John chapter 20, verse 26, after 8 days, again His disciples were with Him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. This is a resurrected, glorified Christ, and stood in the midst of them, and He said unto them, peace be unto you. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither your finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and don't be faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. That's peace. That's comfort. That's joy. That's hope. Jesus Christ Himself is all our hope. He's the chief cornerstone. Now, Ephesians 2, in closing, I'll read these two verses and let you go. Ephesians 2, verse 21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows. That which is living grows, doesn't it? Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, in Christ, you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory.